talking with Larry Singer. He's the incredibly talented and lucky, I think, in a lot of ways, photographer for rock and roll, yeah, concert and backstage photographs from the 1970s and 80s. You can register for a copy online at our website, thehawkrocks.com. Has there ever been a concert, a band, or an artist that you still wanted to, or you feel like you missed shooting while you were taking photographs?
Two, three. Foreigner, AC/DC, and John Cougar Mellencamp. Ooh. Now, I'm going to tell you something that a lot of people don't know.
Yeah?
Okay, this is the truth. About a month before the US 83 Rock Festival in San Bernardino, John Cougar Mellencamp was scheduled to play. About 2 weeks, a week before he is scheduled, the concert, this three-day festival is supposed to go on, John Cougar said, no, I'm not going unless I get more money. The promoter said no. He left. So they had to bring in two groups to fill his hole. Mm-hmm. They brought in Quiet Riot and Motley Crue. Quiet Riot, to this day, if you watch their movie, their documentary about themselves and their effort to find a new lead singer after Quiet Riot's lead singer passed away prematurely and their inability to, they will say the S83, and they say repeatedly, the S83, if it hadn't been for the S83 Rock Festival, we never would have made it out of Los Angeles. That launched our career and made us superstars. And the same with Motley Crue. The only reason was John Cougar said, I ain't showing up. Had he not showed up, imagine how the rock world would have been different.
Yeah. That would have been completely... I'm trying to imagine a world without Quiet Riot and definitely Motley Crue. I mean, those...
The only people that knew it was Los Angeles. They were big in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. And then all of a sudden, their careers were launched. And it was nice to be there when it happened. I had never seen anything like Motley Crue. Motley Crue was like... I'd never seen all the chains and the leather. It was like, wow, this is heavy metal.
Larry,
I was 10 feet from the very epicenter of heavy metal in the world. In fact, the first time I heard heavy metal was referring to Ozzy Osbourne and his band.
Larry, you've documented incredible parts of rock and roll history, and you got paid to do it.
Yes, I did.
that's a job we all want.
Pardon?
I said that's a job that we all want, that we're just having fun. It's not a job that we're enjoying right, just going to work.
You know, they're very okay. This amazes me. Here in Miami, but I live about 35 minutes north of Miami, and in Miami every year they have what they call the Ultra Festival, and thousands of people show up and listen to disc jockeys play music on records. And no live music at all recorded, and they're just like a festival, but there's no musicians.
Wow!
And the only reason I can think that they do this is because the groups that I took pictures of, they're in this book, they ain't around no more.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are trying to make a comeback, playing casinos.
Yeah,
okay?
Residencies.
But, you know,
yep.
Let's put it this way: when I saw I have a picture in the Quiet Riot documentary. One day I'm at home and I get either a phone call or an email. I can't remember which. And the person at the other end, I must have had a phone call. The lady says, I am the wife of the drummer of Quiet Riot, and I'm making a movie. And I understand you have pictures of my husband at the S83 Rock Festival in the band. I said, yes, I do. She says, would you send them to me, please? Would you email it to me? If you would, I can't pay you, but I'll put your picture in the movie, and I'll give you credit. And I went, okay. And I sent her the pictures. And about 2 years later, I get the DVD in the mail, put it on, and I watch it in about 15 minutes. There they are at the S83 Rock Festival. And there they are playing. And then all of a sudden, the screen fills with the drummer, my picture of the drummer with his hands raised above his arms raised above his head. He's framed by his arms, and he's smiling. It's just him and his part of his drum kit and his head and shoulders, and he's saying over my picture, it was the greatest time of my life. And all of a sudden, it hit me that I had somehow captured the greatest moment in the life of the drummer of Quiet Riot. And that means something to me. What can I say?
And that's the one that you have, I believe I'm looking at, in your book. That's of Frankie from the festival?
Yes.
Okay.
On the left is the drummer, the lead singer, Full Page.
Yep.
Upper right-hand corner is Mr. Benali. And here's the thing. when I get the DVD, Frankie Vinali's on the cover, as he looks today, and he looks like a 70-year-old man today, and he's walking with a cane. And my heart went out to him because my knees are gone too, brother. And my biggest fear was that Mick Jagger would someday show up at a concert with a walker.
Ooh.
And I go, yeah, you know, and I don't want to see that. You know, I'm 71, and I know I ain't far away, you know, and I don't want to get a knee transplant. And I know Frankie had what he's been doing, his life on the road, you know, in playing the drums. I'm sure he's worn himself right to the nub. And that's the price these guys paid. And, you know, plus I would imagine there was some hard living along the way.
Now, that is the rock and roll life, I guess. And that's why you have people like Alice who have who are now sober. They've adjusted their life because it's for the better.
The picture I have of the weird thing is I have pictures of Alice at the very beginning when he's like looking at me with the beer can and holding the bunny rabbit. And he looks without any makeup, just Alice Cooper in without any makeup holding the bunny rabbit. And then I have Alice just before he went into rehab. And Alice was the most highest functioning alcoholic I've ever met in my life. Alice never went anywhere without 2 6-packs of beer. We took Alice out to the Broward Community College Planetarium because Alice had played one concert on a Saturday night or a Friday night, was going to play one on a Saturday night, and then another. Whatever, he was going to hang around for 2 days. He was going to be in South Florida long enough for me to develop the slide film and show him some pictures that I had just taken. And I didn't have a slide projector. So I arranged from the guy that ran the professor that ran the planetarium out of the college to let me use the planetarium and this huge domed hall. And he stops the class and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna stop the class. If you want to leave, you can leave. We have some rock and roll music and some rock and roll musicians." And Alice Cooper and two or three members of the band and Shep Gordon, his manager, walk down the aisle to the front, to near the middle of the circle, and they sit down. And the concert starts and the music, and Alice goes dancing to the stars in the universe, twirling around. And that's how I showed Alice his pictures because I didn't have a slide projector. I had to get one.
That is, you have so many stories, Larry, and your book has so much through the photographs.
Can I tell you one more Alice Cooper story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Alice Cooper. He tells when I'm alone with him in his hotel room. I believe it's the Fountain Blue Hotel in Miami Beach. Although I can't swear it was the Fountain Blue, but it was a very nice hotel. And he's telling me about Chiquita, his new snake. And he had lost one snake. It had escaped, I believe. And this one, he was getting it ready to go on stage. He said, what happened was, he said, "I was just about ready to get him on. The snake seemed ready to do his thing, and it would seem very cool, but I hadn't introduced him to an audience. But I thought, well, he's ready." So then two nights down the road, there's a concert. He introduces the snake. He brings the snake out. And right in the middle of the song, as he's singing the song, the snake coils around his neck. And like, not tight, but just coiled reasonably tight, turns around and looks right at Alice, looks him right in the eye, and just tightens his coils about 10%.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, and looked right at Alice and then loosened the coils. And Alice said, "At that moment, I understood exactly what he was saying and what he meant." And what he said, "As long as I'm happy, everything's cool. When I'm not happy, you'll know it." and that image of Alice, you know, trying hard not to panic in front of 16,000 people as he's singing, doing the Alice Cooper concert. And you know, I'm sorry that the people today will never see the ones that I saw, you know, with the original band.
Yeah, and that's
where he would come out and do "Under My Wheels," the first song, and everybody would just go absolutely insane. And by the way, I would have liked to have seen a photograph of Michael Jackson too. I miss that must have been pure electricity.
I bet. I mean, he was an entertainer.
You know, I shot the Moody Blues, and that was the sad part about it. They really weren't entertainers; they were musicians. They sat there stood there for 2 hours and played the most incredible music you've ever heard, and never moved away from their microphones. They stood right behind their mics and just played and did nothing. I mean, make great music. But for a photographer, it was like, why did I show up?
Very, yeah. Great to listen to, not so much to see.
You got that right.
Larry, thank you very much for chatting with me for a little bit today. Rock and roll, the concert and backstage photographs from the 1970s and 1980s. It's an incredible book. We've got copies for it right now at thehawkrocks.com. It's online from Amherst Media, amherstmedia.com. Larry, thank you very much again for chatting with me. Also for the photos that we have up here at the studio as well. They certainly help bring some life to our little home here in radio.
Well, you know, I thank you so much. And you know, Concord is like every time I hear the name, it seems like this is where, you know, there should be people with muskets shooting at one another, you know, in red coats. It just seems so historic. It's ridiculous. Thank you so much for bringing me on.
Yeah, you're welcome, Larry. I hope you enjoy the rest of your afternoon, and be sure to check out thehawkrocks.com and help support Larry and his book. It's a really cool book with a lot of history. I highly recommend it. Larry, enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. More music on the way. It's 104.9 The Hawk.